times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Well, won't somebody say praise the Lord? I'm just grateful for those who know their prayers have been answered and God be glorified. I'm talking about somebody who's walking out of here different from the way they came in here. I'm talking about somebody who's deposited their burdens and is collecting their blessings. I'm talking about somebody who's sick and tired of being sick and tired and want to thank God for a new day and a new way. Come on, give him praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, since I laid my burdens down. Come on, let's just sing a little bit of that if you don't mind. I laid my, oh Lord, glory, oh my Lord, yeah, glory, thank you, Jesus, oh. Come on. So much. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. So much. Hey, Lord. You know what I discovered? Hey, friends, don't treat me alone. Oh, oh Lord, yeah, well, it's glory, glory, hallelujah.
give him a hand of praise today.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of sharing your word. We pray that you would meet us in the text, tale of the truth we're teaching today, to bless your people, cause them to hear you in the spirit. Let your word be revealed to them in their innermost parts, that they may hear the principles and practice the principles, that they may profit from the principles and give you all praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen. From the book of Psalms, number one. Psalms number one. And the word says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 1:1 instructs us on how blessed we are when we follow the word of God according to what he has instructed us. Now, when this psalm opens up, it's wonderful that it starts off with talking about how to be blessed. Because I do think that every person who is in relationship with the Lord, who desires the best of the Lord, wants to know each and every day how they can better be blessed. The psalmist talks about this when he says, blessed is the man or the person that, one, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the first thing this word is saying to those of us who are blessed is we don't take our counsel from people who are ungodly. In other words, we who are blessed recognize that we've got to be careful about the company we keep and the counsel we accept, because everything that sounds good isn't good. And if the counsel we get does not come from the word of the Lord, then that counsel is not worthy of the people of God. In other words, we must recognize that we can only be safe in the multitude of godly counsel. Godly counsel. Let me say something to you. When you are allowed to hear the thoughts of the ungodly, don't fool yourself. To the natural and to the flesh, it makes sense. If I'm mad, I'm upset, if things aren't going right with me and I listen to someone who is not godly and they say some things to me that are ungodly, it makes sense to my flesh. I wouldn't take that if I were you. They got one more time to call me there if I were you. You know, they start giving us all kinds of, you know, instructions about how we ought to handle the situation that God said something totally different about. One of the things we've got to realize is we belong to God, therefore we represent God, therefore we must operate in the manner that he says is right to operate in. Jesus said if somebody smack you, you turn the other cheek. Now the world ain't gonna take that and talk about, you know, turning the other cheek and hit the other cheek. No, it's going down. It's going down. If you take off running, wherever I catch you, it's going down. In the trail, it's going down. In the mall, it's going down. Wherever I see you, it's going. Don't sit here and act all holier than thou.
Even if I got to go get some of my friends and my family and some other folk, we gonna find you, because it's going and somebody gonna be singing Another One Bites the Dust. But that's worldly counsel. Worldly counsel. Then he goes on and says, nor who standeth in the way of sinners, which means who operate in sinful ways. A blessed man don't operate in sinful ways. We do not operate like the sinner operate. We do not give our way and ourselves and our thoughts and our actions to the ways of sinners. We are above those actions. We take our instructions from God, from the leading of the Holy Ghost, from the Word of God, not from the ways of sinners. Sinners say, do unto others first before they do unto you. That's just their way. It's a dog eat dog world. Y'all know the saying of the way sinners work and operate. That's not the way of believers. And you've got to be careful not to get yourself wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in the ways of sinners, because you are a believer. You're a saint. You're not a sinner. So therefore, the sinner's ways should not appeal to you. It's the way God says to deal with things. Then it says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, my brothers and sisters, that third position might actually be the most dangerous position. Because the seat of the scornful, listen, includes a lot of folk that are right in the church. There are some people who sit on your bench, some that might even sit right next to you, and all they ever do is scorn folk. Roll their eyes, twist their lips, act as if they're smelling something that's gone bad in the refrigerator for several weeks, act as if they've got God and nobody but them. They act like you are far from the kingdom and will never make it in the kingdom, and they don't even know why you're in church. Sitting in the seat of the scornful, you say something and it might not be like they say it. It's wrong. They grunting. They hunching. They're trying to make you look bad, feel bad. Sitting in the seat of the scornful, bringing down, critiquing, as they would call it, everything you do. But the problem with their critiquing is it's not constructive criticism. It's criticism of the worst kind. They're not telling you so that you can be better. They're talking about you. They're saying things that are not God-like about you. That seed of the scornful are folk themselves who have fallen many times out of their place and position of hierarchy and off the pedestal. And so now all they can do is criticize everybody. Thinking this, saying that. If they disapprove of something, they want everybody around them to disapprove with it. I don't think that's right. Nobody asked you what you thought. If you don't like it, don't do it. But don't try and pollute and contaminate everybody around you because you don't like it. Who are you to argue with God? Who are you to argue with the things God has established? How many folk who find themselves in the seat of the scornful? Blessed folk don't find themselves in that position. You know, folks stumble, they mess up. You know, they try and encourage them. They try to find a way to help them. They try and make things better. But they don't sit there and criticize
with an ear toward hurting folk. But the Bible says in verse 2, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law do they meditate day and night. Their desire is to know what God says. I'm talking about the blessed folk now. Is to know what God says. But their delight, their desire, their love is to understand the word of God the way God wants them to understand it. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. Now listen at this. Because they delight in that, and because they make that a priority in their lives, they commit themselves to studying that word. When do they study it? When they get a chance? When do they study it? When they get a break? When do they study it? Just before they go to sleep and read 5 minutes and read the same thing over and over again till they get sleepy, and they get sleepy so quickly when they're reading the Bible? No, it says that they study it. They meditate. They mutter that word. They say it day and night. They open that word up and get something in the morning. And they put that in their minds and keep saying it till it gets down in their heart. But all through the day, you'll hear them muttering that word. Just above a whisper. Somebody said, oh, you said something to me? No. I was I wasn't talking to you. I was. Why? Because that means what they're doing is releasing that word that comes out of that mouth goes back in their ear. It continues as the process goes on to fortify itself in the spirit of that person. That's how David hid the word of the Lord in his heart, that he might not sin against God. Because when he studied that word day and night, what he studied that morning, he would meditate on it all day. Then in the evening, he'd study it early enough so that he could get something from that word and then meditate on it all night. And that word will continuously grow in him, become a part of him, so much so that he was able to recall that word when every instance that he needed that word to come up, it was able to come up. Listen, you can't do that if you don't delight in the law of the Lord. How many times have you wanted to quote the word of God, but you get there and you go, well, I know it's in there and I know it says something like this. And I'm not saying you got to say every word for word verbatim, but I'm just saying if you spend a little time in it, you'll know it like you know your name. You don't stutter when folk ask you your name. You say it because you know it. And the more time you spend in the word of God, the more time you will be able to share that word the way God wants you to share it. Because you know that word, because that word is on the inside of you. That word encourages you. That word strengthens you. That word brings you back to a point of reference so that it builds your most holy faith. That word is what the Holy Ghost uses to build you up. And that's what the devil don't want you to have, the word of the Lord. And when I look back over my life, and especially these last few years of my life, I think, Lord, what would have happened to me if I did not have the word of God in my heart? I'm not talking about in my head. Some people say, oh, you can remember the word. This ain't got nothing to do with memory. This is knowing what the word of God said. This is knowing in my heart what he's promised me. And that's what I lean on, depend on, believe in. And knowing that makes all the difference. And like David, I can encourage myself. Sometimes folk want to encourage you, but they don't know what to say. Everything, just hold on, pay. Everything going to be all right. And that's good, but where do you reference that? That's right. Give me something God said. Yeah. That sounds good, but
Tell me what thus saith the Lord. Let us rejoice together in the word that we can hold God accountable for. And when I know the word is what God backs up, He's under warrant to back up His word, and His word only, not what I, not what you, not what we say about it, but what He says. I'm talking about blessed folk now and how to be blessed. Then it moves on to that third verse and say, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now listen at this. He has discovered that he don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He don't stand in the way of sinners. He don't sit in the seat of the scornful. He has discovered that he do take out time. He takes the time to study the word, to meditate upon the word day and night. Now, after he does this, study the word day and night, mutter the word day and night, then his strength, listen, puts him in a place where God spiritually, supernaturally places him where he could not place himself. All right, now. Listen, let me tell you, when you allow the word of God to come on the inside of you and build up and grow and develop on the inside of you, God elevates you and God places you in places of promotion that you couldn't place yourself. Look at what the word says, and he shall be planted. And he shall be planted. Listen, plants and trees don't plant themselves. Now, this process comes after verse 1 and verse 2 have been adhered to. When they get verse 1 and 2 together, then God plants them. Where does he plant them? Here it is, where they must stay. Somebody missed that. He planted them where they must stay. Why must they stay there? Because he planted them there. And he planted them there, listen at this, so that they might experience the optimal growth. That they may be the best that they can be. Can I say something to you, my brothers and sisters? Listen, when you are blessed and God plants you in a place, you might not necessarily like the place. You might not want to be in that place. But I've got news for you. You need to stay where you're planted. Because the greatest growth you will ever experience is where God has planted you and not anybody else. But look at where he plants you. By the rivers of water. Not only must you stay planted where he puts you, but he puts you by multiple sources. Multiple sources. Why is that so important to be planted by the rivers? Plural, S. Of water. Because especially in the eastern country and culture, you can have beautiful irrigated rivers and then drought season comes. And that land, that landscape that was flowing as a river, as a lake, as a stream, when the dry season comes, becomes so dried and the ground becomes so cracked that there is no moisture in it, and everything, listen, that is there that does not have a root system deep enough to run far beneath the surface dies. And so when God plants you by multiple sources, it literally means that God puts you in a place where if one river runs dry, you've got other rivers that are still flowing. How many times have you been in a situation where one source dried up on you? But bless God, that was another source that was still flowing, and you got your sustenance and your strength from the other source.
Listen, blessed people have multiple sources. God makes it available to them. Why is that important? Because it says, in their season, they're going to bring forth his fruit in his season. And shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Leah, listen to this. It's important for you to see that when you are planted where God wants you to be and you have multiple sources of rivers or substance, you will discover that all of those things are a part of you growing to your full potential. You then produce much substance. I'm not talking about you put out some little scanty harvest. I'm talking about the branches hang down low, because the fruit are so big and heavy on it, and the fruit can't last long. They have to fall off because they are so nice and ripe and full of substance. And you become that kind of fruitful tree. Then he throws in something else and says, his leaf also shall not wither. Now listen, he's going to produce fruit in his season. Meaning that he or she is going to be capable of producing the maximum of what their potential is when it's time to produce. But may I say to you, every time of the year is not the time to produce. But here is the thing. The Bible says his leaf also shall not wither. When you looked at blessed folk, here's this part right here I want you to understand, that their moisture is sustained. Which means if the moisture is sustained, why? Because they have multiple sources of running water underneath the dry ground, which feeds up through the root system, which keeps that tree nice and full of life, gives it all that it needs through the nutritional ground and all of the rest of the elements that are necessary to grow it properly. But it stays in a constant state of readiness. It is moisture sustained. In other words, you really don't know when that tree will bud because it looks green all year long. In other words, it's always in a state of readiness. Blessed folk ought to always be ready to be blessed. I'm looking for a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. I stay in a state of readiness because moisture is sustained. My leaves have not withered. That's when you're going through stuff and folk look at you. Well, he don't look sick. I've been so amazed while going through my challenges and folk look at me. Oh, you sure look good. Well, how was I expected to look? My sources haven't dried up. I'm going through stuff, but I got news for you. It is well with my soul. I'm connected and being well watered underneath the skin. And then the last thing I want to say is, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.